Excuse me, recordings have started.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the BC Members Call on Thursday, March 29th, 2018. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call as we have quite a few participants and attendance will be taken via the Zoom conference room. If you are only on the audio bridge, please let yourselves be known.
Hi, this is Han
on the audio bridge only.
This is Denise.
Thank you, everyone. Other than
Margie Milam.
Hi, Margie. Thank you. And I will be updating the phone bridge as we go. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn it over to Claudia to begin. Over to you, Claudia.
Thank you very much, Chantelle. It's Claudia Selli, and I wanted to thank everybody for joining the conference call. We found this temporary solution for today's call, and I hope that we can restore the system soon. I wanted as well to thank everybody for the great contributions to during the ICANN Puerto Rico and for all the effort and work that has gone via the BC. So thank you very much to everybody. And in the interest of time, I will leave the floor to Steve for the policy calendar. Steve, over to you, if you can hear me.
Claudia, can you hear me?
Yes.
Fantastic. Thanks, everyone. On your screens, for those of you dialed in using Zoom, you should be able to see the policy calendar PDF. For those of you that are dialed in or don't have Zoom up, I sent it around yesterday afternoon as an attachment and in an email. If anyone needs it, let me know in the chat and I'll resend it. I only have one thing to bring up onto Channel 1, which is the previous post to the ICANN public comment process. Since while we were meeting in San Juan, we submitted on the 11th of March a comment on the proposed FY19 budget. We were 3 days late on that, but received assurances that it would be considered by staff. However, Xavier had told us that they have to somehow demote comments that come in after the deadline, even for good reason, and not give them quite the exact same consideration that comments filed on time are to receive. That was a concern to me since staff admitted that they were traveling over the weekend and hadn't even looked at comments on Friday, but would wait until Sunday or Monday. So with the assistance of Chantel and the rest of the XCOM, we will make sure that our comments are fully considered by staff, our comments on the budget, and if they're not, find a way to bring that to management's attention. But thanks to Jimson, Denise, Marilyn, and others who helped with that. I'm now going to scroll to the currently open public comment periods. There are 7 open. I don't have to go through them all in significant detail right now. The first is a plan to restart the key signing key, or KSK, for the route that ICANN publishes. Those comments closed 2nd of April, and so we won't have another call before then, but we do have several more days between now and then. This is because back in the fall of 2017, ICANN postponed the planned rollover of this key, and then they sought comments on acceptable criteria to restart. And since then, there's been more questions about whether there might be unintended consequences of the new key rollout. At the same time, there's definitely a need to put this key out there, or DNSSEC security could be endangered. So I want to do a shout-out to Denise Michelle, and thank you, Denise, for drafting a BC comment. And we first circulated that to the whole BC on the 13th of March, plenty of time for review. And then on the 27th of March, Stephanie Ducheneau of Google circulated an alternative draft comment as opposed to sort of marking up the one that Denise had circulated. The good news is that these comments are not miles apart, but only inches apart. And both Denise and Stephanie promised last night in an email to me that they would work together to align and coordinate those two approaches, keeping everything that each had said, but trying to find a way to meld them. And I'll assist in that effort over the next day. So I hope to get another draft to all of the BC members, probably by close of business today, if not early Friday morning. and then we'll have a chance to see the combined. But I don't want to delay anybody's attention to this issue. The first two attachments in the policy calendar that I emailed yesterday contain both Denise and Stephanie's drafts. Please look at those. The key signing key is a vital aspect of ICANN's management of the root server for purposes of security and stability. So by all means, look at those. If you have comments, reply all so that Denise, Stephanie, and I can work them in. I'm unable to see hands up in the Zoom room unless there's something I'm missing, and therefore somebody should put into the chat if they want to make an intervention. I'll pause there. Any questions on the KSK comment? I'm not seeing anything in the chat, so I'll proceed. Denise and Stephanie, thank you again for all your effort on this. The second is a draft procedure for community GTLDs who want to broaden the eligibility of registrants from the contract they had earlier signed and the proposal they had put in to ICANN. This is also due the 2nd of April. Faisal Shah had volunteered to draft an initial BC comment. He did so based on some input from Andrew Mack, Marilyn, and Wauto. I had then put a number of edits together on Attachment 3 to the policy calendar. It would be ideal if we could finalize this today. I'm going to try to bring it up on the screen right now. Wish me luck here. One moment, please. I'm watching the chat as well, if there are any comments on this. Okay, here we go. All right, can anybody see the draft comment on your screen in Zoom? Anyone? Just give me a single person, and then I'll know it's working.
Yes, it is.
Fantastic. Thank you. So in this comment, I'm scrolling to the part of it I wanted to bring your attention to, is that we bring up the idea that the BC believes there's instances where a community register operator could have a legitimate need to change the eligibility for its registrant community. And I bring up as an example the .bank and .insurance community TLDs wanted to simply add eligibility for regulated bank and insurance holding companies last year. ICANN at that time denied the request. Apparently, there was no process to do that, and it was the folks at .bank and .insurance, the FTLD company, that had proposed late last summer to come up with a standardized and transparent process to evaluate community TLD change requests. We go on in this draft to talk about requests that might be well beyond something like adding the bank and insurance holding companies, and the example I cited was from our October comments on .museum. Now, .museum wasn't a community applicant in the 2012 round. It is a carryover from the sponsored TLD rounds of a decade earlier. So many of you may remember that last October, the BC had significant issues with Dot Museum's proposal because they said that anybody who is interested in a museum or a bona fide museum user could register names in Dot Museum. You know, we didn't have a problem with that per se, but on principle, we said, well, then it's not a community TLD anymore. It's an open TLD. If anyone who says, I'm interested in museums, can register a .museum domain name, and there'd be no way to verify any of that. So I simply reiterated in our comment that we had a lot of concern about that. But here's how it ties in. Bad news here. Earlier in March, ICANN's board went ahead and granted .museum's requested change, despite the public comments from us and others that raised the concern. And they did so by having .museum adopt a brand-new registry agreement based on the base registry agreement, and it includes specification 12. So you would think that in the future, if .museum wanted to do something like this again, they would have to go through this rigorous process that we're commenting on. But we are very concerned that the ICANN process will only apply when a community is seeking to make a change in their initial term of the registry agreement. So here's the key phrase, initial term. So anybody who signed a new registry agreement for a first term of 5 years could, after 5 years, do anything they wanted to the community registrant qualifications without even having to go through an approval. So Andrew Mack brought this up yesterday in an email. I believe that with the consent of the rest of the folks in the BC, that the BC should oppose using this process, only for the initial term of the registry agreement. But in fact, as long as you're a community TLD, you should go through this process. We go on to make a lot of comments about the process, including the idea of being sure that the community registry operator has to not only consult with the affected community, those who had registered domain names, but document that they have indicated their consent to the change. And that pretty much summarizes the rest of what's in there. So I'll take a cue now for anybody that would like to speak to this issue, and anyone who would object to this idea that the BC will say that it should apply to all periods of time that a community registry is operating, not just the first few years they're on their initial agreement. So, Chantel, I'll seek your assistance in determining whether hands are up or people have asked for the floor. Is there an easier way to do that, Chantel?
I see. That sounds like a great approach. I'm monitoring the Zoom chat.
Any objections to the draft I circulated and that's on the screen? All right, hearing none, I will make the change that I just discussed, the one that Andrew Mack brought up, and I will send it to everyone after this call. So you still have 4 more days to comment on that. Now I have to close that document and reopen the policy calendar. And that didn't work. It did work. Okay, you're all seeing the policy calendar. Thank you. Next up is number 3. We raised a concern that certain groups that nominate people to the ICANN board do not have an integrity screen, and that would include the GNSO for the board seat, the 2 board seats the GNSO puts up. The board has proposed that we come up with a new process by which each of the ACs and SOs has to do a screening for board members' integrity. Thank you to BC members Cheryl Miller, Zahid, and Jay, because you're all in the NOMCOM, and then Waudo and Aranola also agreed to help. That comment's not due for another 3 weeks, so I'll circulate something when it comes in. Number 4 is a draft plan by the FSAC, the Security Stability Advisory Committee, because they're going to reexamine the name collisions issue for new TLDs, and they're going to do it in a very open process where they're going to have multiple phases of study, and they're going to solicit public comments from the rest of us as they move from phase to phase. That's a new process for the FSAC, and I believe we should applaud the process, and that's all this comment is about. It's not about the substance of whether collisions should occur, should be blocked, but whether the process that FSAC is using, the project plan, makes sense. So I'll stop here and ask for a volunteer. Is there anyone in the BC, particularly those of you related to companies that want to launch new TLDs that could collide with terms? Think of Corp, Mail, and Home as 3 that were prevalent in the previous round. Do we have any volunteers that would help to draft a BC comment on number 4? Stephanie, thank you very much. Anyone else? Stephanie, thank you. I will circulate a setup email to you that includes the prior BC comments on FSAC proclamations as well as collisions. Okay, thank you. Number 5, this is an important one. It's ICANN's strategy to replenish the reserve fund. Now, the board has approved the notion that there be a 12-month minimum for operating expenses, and that was the BC position. We said it might perhaps need to go as high as 17 months, but we were comfortable with 12 months. The board has approved that, so the question now is how quickly and from what sources would the funds come about to restore $70 million to the operating reserve? ICANN's proposal is a 5-year, where some of the money comes from the auction proceeds, some comes from an operating surplus, which means ICANN would have to manage to have revenues in excess of expenses. They have to control expenses to throw off a reserve contribution. They look at using leftover funds from the new GTLD, and there's an unmet need to get there in 5 years. So we have volunteers from the BC who are going to draft a comment. John Berard stepped up. Jimson Wauudo and I. And that drafting team has had multiple back and forths on email to try to figure out how we want to position this. And I think one of the fundamental questions is how much can be taken from the reserve, the auction proceeds to put into the reserve fund. ICANN's proposal came up with a completely arbitrary number by saying this is what we spent on the transition, and therefore that amount could come from the auction proceeds. But upon examination, there is no logic to that number at all. There's only this question about how much should come from the auction proceeds. And there might be some limitations on what can come from the auction proceeds, since the auction proceeds are designated for charitable use. And that would not, you would think, include offsetting ICANN's operational contributions to the reserve fund. So we should have a draft ready in the next week or so. There's plenty of time. It doesn't close till the 25th. Are there any other comments from BC members or volunteers who want to help on the drafting? Marilyn, Kate, I'll add you to that. I actually thought you already were added to it. I just haven't seen you on the email trail. I'll add you. Anyone else? Okay, thank you. I only have two. Yes, go ahead, please. Go ahead, Jimson.
Yes. Well, to your point, in terms of maybe the logic of drawing from the reserve fund based on spending on IANA, but basically, I think the link is that that special budget action, you know, has to be implemented using the reserve. And reserve basically is used for such unbudgeted and important expenditure line like that. So I don't know, perhaps I may be wrong, but I'm thinking that really, if such important expenditure was implemented using the reserve fund, then it makes sense that the reserve fund should be replenished by that measure. So maybe the challenge again now is that are we sure it's actually $35 million? But let's take their word for it. But if we take their word for it, then basically I think it makes sense to replenish the reserve you know, with 35,000 originally removed from the reserve. And also, another thing maybe members could also weigh in by the time we put pen to paper is the duration. I can have proposed 5-year period for replenishment. But my thinking is that in a fast-paced, moving world, you know, technology is happening, innovation, anything can be disrupted. So I think a shorter replacement period could be more plausible, maybe 3 years cap. Okay? So based on that, I'm thinking as soon as possible. We also have the challenge of new GTLD round and they're coming up. It's not in the budget of FY19. And also the implementation of Workstream 2 outcomes. So those are issues that we need to also brainstorm on going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Jimson. Thank you, Jimson. And since you're part of the drafters, I am anxiously awaiting how you would connect the rationale of the reserve fund to the charitable purposes that ICANN has said are to be used for the auction proceeds. So we have to be able to justify replenishment of the reserve. I'm not saying it's not a worthy thing to do, but how does it fit in with the charitable purposes that have been declared for the auction proceeds? That's the first thing. And the second is that by you saying 3 years is better than five, we would all agree. Let's just all agree with that. But, Jimson, we can't recommend 3 years unless we can say where the money would come from. And ICANN is not likely to generate operating reserves sufficient to get to $70 million over 3 years. So, again, I'm looking forward to your email where you describe where $70 million would come from in 3 years. And that's the part we have to evaluate. We can't simply say, let's go to 3 years instead of five if we can't say where the money would come from. All right, thank you. I will next say that there are two more open public comments, a bylaws revision over the new voting thresholds in GNSO for the empowered community. We'll need some help on that one. I guess I should take the lead on that since I managed that working group in GNSO. So I'll start and do the draft for number six. And then nominating committee is one of those ICANN groups that every 5 years, the board has to conduct an independent review of its purpose and effectiveness, including recommendations on whether to modify its structure or processes to improve its effectiveness. The BC has three current members, and there are some on the phone who have also been a part of the NOMCOM before. We need to draft a comment for the BC's perspective on this nominating committee review and recommendations. Are there any volunteers that I can look to now? Marilyn, when I tell you the word charitable purposes, I'm referring not just to what you drafted, but what ICANN's lawyers said in the public documents filed in the .web lawsuit, where ICANN is claiming that charitable is part of it. Lawrence, thank you for volunteering on number seven. Barbara Warner, thank you for number six, helping on that. Any others? Okay, that's about, before I turn it over to Susan and to Marie, I wanted to point out that there's been a lot happening on GDPR compliance for WHO is. I have circulated to each of you in the BC a couple of emails recently on iterative changes to this accreditation model that would allow accredited users to have access to the full WHO is once the standard public WHO is has been changed. The BC has not gone through a detailed review of every detail in that process, and it would take us a couple of weeks to do so, and that would mean that the draft would have to slow down and stop changing every 48 hours. So at this point, and this is something we agreed to when we were in San Juan, the BC is agreeing to the advancement of a proposal for accreditation so that it becomes a consideration of ICANN, the contract party house, and the DPAs in Europe. When they begin to react to that is to say the contract parties, ICANN, and the DPAs react to the proposal, I think we will try to freeze a proposal and have the BC weigh in particular on the details. But none of that should stop BC members from weighing in now on elements of this proposed accreditation model. And I circulate new ones frequently. I'm grateful that five BC members have commented on it in the last 5 days, and three of our changes were reflected in the last draft that Fred Feldman circulated yesterday. Not all our changes are in there, and so the BC will continue to comment on that and hope that that moves ahead. There's a bigger game at play, though, and that is that ICANN is meeting with DPAs. They met yesterday in Brussels. And when you read the letters that ICANN has sent to the DPAs, their primary objective is to get a written assurance that there'll be a forbearance on enforcement for some period of time. That is one of the reasons that ICANN put together a timeline for how quickly contract parties and the community are moving on developing an interim model. I don't have any word from how things went in Brussels yesterday. Is there anyone in the BC call that has information on how ICANN's meeting with DPAs went yesterday? Okay, as soon as we learn, I will circulate to the BC the current status of things. I'll remind all of you that I try to maintain a Google Doc with the current status of GDPR and WHO is, with all the key documents and links. And there's a link to that right at the bottom of the page on the screen. Chris Wilson asks, were Fred's recent edits circulated to the full BC list? On Tuesday evening, I circulated a draft that came from Fred. And Fred, I believe that you have circulated a brand new one last night. And if that's the case, I will circulate that to the BC as well. Stephanie says, with respect to the timeline, the version that we circulated was a draft, and it wasn't supposed to be shared, and that's exactly true. And I don't want to fault Staten for sharing it. Apparently he thought it was okay to share it. And that timeline, Stephanie, was used almost expressly to try to get a period of forbearance from the DPAs. It didn't have a lot of substance in it. It was mostly about how long would it take to get things implemented. I see that Susan would speak to RDS. Alex Deacon, PDP leadership. Okay, so let me scroll down. There is a whole channel open for council, and that includes this RDS PDP working group, so that Alex Deacon can speak to that. So up on the policy calendar on the screen. Okay.
Hey, Steve, it's Margie. Right. Can I get in the queue? I'm sorry, I'm not online right now.
Go ahead, Margie.
This is regarding GDPR. So we've got the draft that Fred circulated, and we've just discussed. But my question is, should there be a BC comment to the board regarding the GAC communique? I find it a bit striking that and problematic that Joran sent this material over to the DPAs without updating the model in any way related to the comments received in San Juan, and in particular the GAC communique. And so it strikes me that this is now not just a staff issue, but a board issue, because the GAC communique is consensus advice. And I think it would make sense for the BC to ask the board to move quickly in analyzing the GAC communique and updating the model.
Any other BC members want to comment on Margie's proposal, which I think is a BC letter? There's no public comment out, but a BC letter indicating that GAC advice, I guess we should call it the advice more than the communique, the advice portion from San Juan called for changes to the interim model that are consistent with prior BC positions, and we are anxious for the board to take action on that GAC consensus advice. I think that's the essence of what Margie is saying. Margie, we need to give BC members who aren't on the call an opportunity to review that. So can I count on you to give me a first draft of the letter, the email?
Yes. Yes,
and,
thank you.
I'll work with you on that and circulate it, but we'll need to give BC members a few days for review.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Margie. So, Fred Feldman, let me just to clarify, I had circulated the Tuesday version already, so I don't really need to circulate a red line to get people confused with that. If anybody wants the red line, ask Fred or I, and we'll circulate that too.
The red line was
Fred,
just
anything you want to add?
I gave you the red line just so that people could see the changes between versions, and a lot of people had asked for that, so that's the reason I sent it out.
And I appreciate that. Fred, what would be your estimate for the next revision we would expect to see on the accreditation model?
I'd expect to see a revision on next Wednesday after the close of the comment period that we've given people to submit comments, which ends on Tuesday.
Fred, I will then circulate the red line and the clean with a reminder to everyone to submit comments. And earlier I had asked the comments to go to the email address you set up, the 3 a.m. email address, as well as to the BC-private so that BC members would all see it there. So I'll send a red line plus a reminder for next Wednesday's deadline. And Fred, a few of us in the BC felt that the criteria for eligibility of IP owners should be something stronger than just having a good standing membership with something like INTA, and I've asked you a couple times on that. You seem to indicate that was just an oversight. It would be corrected. Is that something we can look forward to a fix on?
That's something you can look forward to a fix on for sure. We've asked the IPC to help us establish more stringent criteria for intellectual property concerns. And just to clarify, the close of the comment period is on Tuesday at noon Pacific, and it will probably be very late in the day or very early in the morning on Wednesday night that you'll see the new revision.
Great. Thank you, Fred, for all the incredible work you're putting into this. Denise, Margie, the folks from Microsoft, Tim Chen, Susan Kawaguchi, and others. It's a great effort, and it'd be better for ICANN to pay a little more attention to work on the accreditation model. But as I said, it's my sense that they are completely focused on getting a forbearance timeline, and the contract parties have only really just recently turned to look at the accreditation model. I was talking to a contract party on Monday who said that they were so focused on responding to the cookbook and giving ICANN the timeline that they wanted, that they hadn't done substantive review yet of our accreditation model. I was disappointed to hear that, but encouraged to know that they were turning to it this week. Anyone else have anything to add on GDPR and WHOIS? Okay, turn it over to Susan and Marie on Channel 2 for counsel. Susan and Marie?
This is Marie. I was hoping Susan was going to lead on this. So I will keep talking until Susan turns up. Can you hear me okay?
Perfectly.
Okay. You've all seen or attended the last meeting we had, which had no consensus items, nothing adopted, no votes. The main item on that agenda has already been mentioned in the chat by Tim, which is discussions about the future of the RDS-PDP working group and how not that might go forward. Now, seeing as we've got Alex on the call, I think it's better that he talks about this so he can filter in properly. But what I can tell you briefly is that there have been voices for it to be put on hold pending GDPR. That Susan pointed out that was patently ridiculous and it should not be put on hold. And then we had a certain member of the NCSG who flounced very publicly from the group until she found out that the board and the leadership of council would be talking about this, and suddenly she wants to be involved in that discussion. But with your agreement, Steve, I pass this one over to Alex.
Alex Deakin, are you on the line?
I am. Can everyone hear me okay?
We do.
Yeah, so just real quick, but without using loaded words like pause or taking a break, I think with the work happening around the interim model, focus shifted within the PDP, the RDS-PDP working group, away from the PDP and onto, you know, being involved in discussions around the interim model. We did see some resignations, and so the leadership team did cancel this week's meeting and perhaps next, I don't remember exactly. As we kind of understand better from not only the GNSL Council, but from the rest of ICANN about how to best leverage the resources of the PDP while we're both working through an interim model, but and also kind of trying to figure out exactly how a more long-term PDP would fit into the new dynamics that we see. And so there are going to be a few meetings set up over the next few days to determine what the next steps are. And maybe what I could do is take an action real quick to better summarize what's happening and what the time frame is and what we hope to accomplish between now and tomorrow. Hopefully that's helpful.
Alex, it's Steve. I want to support what Marie said, is that it's patently ridiculous to shut down the one PDP whose job it is to come up with consensus policy on directory services. The reason that the interim model is called interim is because it's only supposed to be there until the community completes the policy work that is our main job. So it is patently ridiculous to suspend a PDP whose job it is to develop the policy that replaced the interim.
Yeah, I don't think that's being proposed, Steve. But I think people are just trying to wrap their heads around all the moving pieces. As you know, there's a lot happening all at once.
Okay. Chantel, are you managing the queue?
This is Susan. I'd like to get in the queue, if you can hear me.
As far as I know, you're the only one in it. Go ahead, Susan.
Okay. So, Alex, I have a quick question. You know, there was a council member that said she would like to participate in that board discussion about the RDS working group. And I was wondering what your point of view and, you know, maybe you can speak to the leadership team of the working group or not. I'm not sure. But, you know, the leadership team is, as everyone knows, is comprised of a representative from each of the GNSO stakeholder groups. So do you feel it would be appropriate to allow other counselors to sort of have double representation for their group?
Yeah, thanks, Susan. It's Alex. No, I don't think we do think it's appropriate. I think we already have David Cake, right, representing the NCSG. I hadn't seen, I think that email from Stephanie went to the council list, so I haven't seen if there was any reply to her, but based on discussions that we've had on the RDS leadership list, I think we all agree that that any discussions that happen between the leadership and the council or others would happen with the existing set of leaders, and we wouldn't add additional folks to it.
Okay, that's reassuring to hear. And sorry, I couldn't get off mute earlier. I just finally figured it out. Thanks for the help, everyone.
Susan and Marie, anything further on council? We don't even have an agenda or anything for your next meeting because it doesn't occur until the 26th of April.
Great.
Any questions for our counselors? Alex, at a point of personal, I do hope we'll find a way to keep you in the BC and re-engage you at ICANN as you find your way to the next big challenge. Any company would be lucky to have you, and I'm sorry that MPAA is no longer going to have you working on the ICANN matters. Thanks for everything you've done, Alex. You've been a superb BC member.
Thanks, Steve. I'll send a note to the list kind of just explaining what's going on, but just real quick, my last day with the MPAA is actually tomorrow, so I've been working on a transition to others at the MPAA, and I do hope that I show up again in some other capacity in the BC in the near future, and I appreciate the kind words, Steve. Thanks.
Thank you, Alex. Barbara Warner, turn it over to you for Channel 3 on Commercial Stakeholders Group.
Thank you, and can everybody hear me okay?
We do.
Okay, great, because I'm on the phone and the Zoom, so just to be safe. I provided everybody with a CSG meeting report from ICANN 61. If you did not receive it or misplaced it or whatever, I'm more than happy to send you another copy. Just send me an email through BC Private. One item that was not included in that report were discussions that Steve and I on behalf of the BC and then our counterparts in the ISPCP and the IPC had with the non-contracted party house on the 15th concerning the selection of board seat number 14. Steve attached the red line markup of what those discussions covered. I would say probably the most concerning element when we initially went into those talks was the NCSG's insistence that the NOMCOM appointee actually have a role, not only a role in the process, but a vote. And we pushed back hard on that and were able to get the NCSG to agree that the NOMCOM appointee could have a consultative role, serve as an advisor. Another element that was a little puzzling and we struggled with was the insistence, the NCSG's insistence on having a formal vote. We walked them through probably a couple of times what we learned from our meeting with the contracted party house about how they select their representative. And my takeaway from that was that it was very consultative and all things considered rather informal, that they reach a consensus, they find a candidate, and move on. The NCSG was adamant about there being a vote. So I guess it's point number three, where we emphasize that the candidate be based on a consensus reached with the the non-commercial stakeholders group and the CSG, we then included point number four for consideration by you and the other CSG constituencies about this vote issue. I feel it's a bit redundant. Steve, I'd appreciate your take on this as well.
Barbara, it's Steve. I think you represented it correctly, and it's a formal vote. And there are only two votes. There's the CSG vote and the NCSG vote. And each of us would come up with our own methods of determining what the vote would be. And the candidate would have to get both of those two votes, or we go back to the drawing board for another candidate. Barbara, that represents exactly what it was our members wanted us to do, since NCSG had earlier thought that the votes would be done by counselors. And they wanted the counselors voting to include the NOMCOM appointee, which meant we would ordinarily be outnumbered by 7-6. So I think we were successful at convincing them that we should follow the contract party house model. There will not be a formal council vote, but rather the CSG and the NCSG simply have to agree and each cast their one vote for a single candidate for that candidate to be advanced. So I think it's a good plan. Any comments from BC members?
You know, as I say in this comment, this election number 4 really just formalizes the consensus building process under number 3. But initially, when they raised this idea of including the NOMCOM appointee, we were told it was to create balance, which we all made us scratch our heads because it seemed to create an imbalance in their favor. So, you know, I'm pleased that we were able to get them off a more formal role and clout for the NOMCOM appointee.
Amen to that. Anything else, Barbara, for CSG liaison?
No, not now, so we can move on.
Barbara, an issue that you and I have worked is on the screen right now. It's the minority report on Workstream 2 for transparency. And the BC has on 2 prior occasions approved a public comment saying that ICANN's legal team needs to be more transparent and forthcoming about information that's requested in an independent review process or another proceeding, like a document discovery process. ICANN Legal had objected, saying that they wanted more discretion to simply say, you can't have this document, and they're going to assert privilege in a legal sense and not reveal a document. So what you have on the screen, and what I attached to the policy calendar, is 3 points that the BC is being asked to sign on to in a letter. And they are letters directing ICANN and its attorneys and its agents to that they have to have a contemplated, they had reason to assert privilege or otherwise withhold disclosure, and that the mere fact that disclosure could assist the claimant or potential claimant should not in itself be considered a sufficient reason to withhold a document citing attorney-client privilege. And then finally, when ICANN is considering whether to make a disclosure that was requested to an IRP, that ICANN has to regard the purposes of the IRP as set out in the bylaws and consider those purposes, not just ICANN's organizational objectives. As your policy calendar and Barbara and I have been through this, and it matches with 2 prior BC comments on asking for greater transparency from ICANN Legal and an IRP. Are there any objections to BC signing on to this letter? Currently, the ISPs have agreed to sign on, all of NCSG has agreed, and the IPC should get us an answer by tomorrow morning. The goal was to send this over the weekend. It's part of Workstream 2. Any objections? Thank you very much. That's it. Back over to you, Claudia, for the rest of the meeting.
Thank you very much, Steve. And actually, on point 5 on the agenda, I will take just very few minutes in interest of the time. But there was the ICA 61 BC meetings. I think the majority of the people on the call participated into the Puerto Rico meeting. But we had meetings with on the strategical initiative and the identification of the trends in ICANN with Theresa Swinehart. So she explained the process that they are adopting in ICANN to identify new trends, and they are doing this with the different communities, and they are proposing as well to have a meeting with the BC. So we have this open question to reflect on eventually for Panama, because the time that they are looking for, it's 60 to 90 minute session with whiteboarding in order for the BC members to be split in groups. It's a lot of time, so we will have to see whether we can accommodate that in the agenda or how to feed into this process in a different way, because this one was also one of the questions raised. We had the meeting with finance where, you know, they described throughout the ICANN meeting and also through different communities really the challenges that ICANN is having on the budgetary cuts. And so Steve has already explained what we proposed as the BC during Puerto Rico, and we made those comments to the board during our meeting to the board as well. We had the meeting with the auction proceed, and then, of course, there was a lot of focus on GDPR and with registry. I mean, we have time to reflect also on how maybe to change, because we had a lot of meeting with a lot of slide presentations. So certainly for the future, we might want to reduce probably the speaker and also the presentation, because I found that really the Q&A session was probably the most interesting part of the dialogue with the people that we had the meeting with. I don't know if there are comments on the queue or questions or anything, but otherwise, I would leave the floor to Jimson. Yeah, I see Barbara. No, or am I wrong?
I think you see Marilyn.
Yeah.
Very quickly, because I want to hear from Jimson. It's Marilyn. I just wanted to ask. I think it's really important for the BC to have input into the strategic plan, and maybe there is a couple of options. One would be they come to us and we gather in one group, could be in Washington, D.C., another could be in Europe. It's partial. I don't want to propose that because it eliminates our developing country participants, or maybe we could ask them to do a evening event the day before the event. Claudia, this is a huge amount of time, but I think it's really important because otherwise the strategic plan doesn't include our views. So just a couple of ideas, and then I pass it back to you and to Jimson.
Thank you, Marilyn. This is something certainly we can reflect on. If there are no other comments, Jimson, I would leave the floor to you.
Okay, thank you very much, Claudia. This is Jimson Olu from you speaking. Well, let me begin with finance reports. The prep for our FY19 budget is underway, and the Finance Committee will appreciate input from all our other committees. Credential Committee, if you have any budget, Outreach Committee, we would like to have your input, please. And any other advisory that will come concerning the budget preparation process. As indicated in Fund 1, BC has a quite a heavy account balance for which ESCOM desires to be drawn down through special intervention. Some of the proposals on the table include one, like having a program that will support 1 to 2 members to participate in all the pre-ICANN meeting in FY19. There'll be criteria for that, and some of which may include demonstrated financial need, and two, demonstrated commitment to BC policy work. This will be in addition to support for the BC fourth officer to attend the ICANN meetings, which you members approved the other time. And also to let you know that the FY19 invoicing round starts April 1st, or maybe be early in April after the holiday, and then to get invoices for FY19, your mailboxes by May 4th. Now to operations. Yeah, you can recall that Chair Claudia sent out an RFP on a backup service for the DC. At the conclusion of the submission period on February 16, 2018, we received one proposal. ESCOM has reviewed the proposal at its meeting on March 10, 2018, and accepted to provide a cloud backup service for DC. For a period of 3 years at the first instance, and renewable afterwards on satisfactory job performance. The backup service, as you could recall, will involve the backup of our online documents, even websites and member clicks, including the hosting and maintenance of a URL, maybe like discons.global, excuse me, our chair will be providing more details to members going forward. A new version of the MIDI-DC brochure is being put together. The brochure will be a compendium of profile of lead representative of DC members. I want to appreciate Chantel. She's working very hard on this, and we'll be getting some information on what to do. Shortly. So we're hoping it could be ready against Panama meeting in Barcelona. So the idea of MIDI-DC brochure is so that members, the general public, can be fully aware of the diversity and the membership of the DC. Also, as information, minutes of meeting of DC, both members call and ESCOM, are being compiled and the secretariat by the secretariat, and will be available to members to access once it's fully done through login access to the website, the back end of our website. So, of course, this will be for members' research and references. And information will be coming to you shortly, detailed on in-region crop and leadership development program. So these are the budget requests that we still have pending FY18 that need to be used by the June 30th. So crop, as you know, is for outreach. Outreach can be conducted either in region or out of region. But what we have left now is for in region, either within Europe or within North America or any other continent in ICANN regions. So, again, leadership development tool for potential leaders, not currently DC members, that could join the DC. So, Claudia will be providing more details shortly. And on new membership, I want to thank the credential committee. They've been working very hard. There are five new members, potential new members they're working on. I want to encourage them to tidy that up as soon as possible. And I would like to join all of us to really appreciate Alex Dichin as he'll be leaving us. We hope it won't be for too long before we be connected again. In the meantime, I'd like to welcome heartily Neil Fried, who will be replacing him. So on this note, it's back to you, Claudia. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jimson. And just to say that in the next few days, I will be sending out all the information on a couple of spots that we have with one with the crop funding. And so we have two regional seats spots available. So we will send out this information. Watch this out so that you can eventually apply to that. I will be sending out all the necessary information to you. I don't have any other points, but the next meeting will be held on the 12th of April. So unless there are other comments or other questions from members, I would adjourn the meeting. I wish everybody a nice and wonderful break, if you're taking any, and we'll speak soon.
Thanks, all.
Thanks, all. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone. Operator, you may now stop.